Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem, together on this Thursday. Can you believe it's already May 28th? Oh my gosh. Where does the time go, right? About a month ago, we thought it was dragging on and on and on. And now that things are opening up, I think it's going a little faster. How about you? What do you think? It's going to be a lovely day in the neighborhood. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacy Ann, hanging out with you today. It's currently 55 degrees in the KSLM studio, and it's going to be a nice warm day today. I don't know if you had an opportunity to get out and about yesterday afternoon or evening, but it was fun to see people in their flip-flops and sandals and shorts. Yeah, most of us are still working on the tan thing, right? Getting a little sun, but it was so fun to watch people enjoy and getting that vitamin D. And I hope that you can get a chance to get out and take that walk, take that stroll today. And as we move towards the weekend, certainly potentially some showers on Saturday and temperatures getting a little cooler, but then it warms back up next week. So those are things that we have to look forward to. I want to remind you that you can follow us on our Facebook page at KSLM Radio and tell your friends and family if they can't tune in to 1220 AM or 104.3 FM on the dial. They can certainly listen online on their computer at home, on their device, download our app. You can listen and find out more. Go to KSLM.news with news you can use, here to encourage, educate, and empower you. And if you have a particular story or someone you think would be interest to for me to interview you in the morning and get to know a community member, maybe you're a part of some great organization, I'd like to hear from you. Send me an email, Stacy, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. And our show is sponsored today by Bill Sunderland, Country Financial, Sunderland Agency, 503-885-0789. Continuing to follow and monitor the decision coming out of Baker County. And the Common Sense for Oregon, of course, that's the churches and the businesses that are suing Governor Brown in regards to her overreach and saying, hey, you don't have that authority to do a lockdown beyond the 28 days that was guaranteed in law, right? And so tomorrow's show, I want to let you know that we're going to have via telephone Kevin Mannix from Common Sense for Oregon. He's going to give us an update on that. Looking forward to that. And then something that I think of interest to me, particularly moving back to the Salem area, and because of our economics, wanting to know what's going on currently in the area. And I have a son, my oldest son, Dylan, and his wife, Esma, are currently in the market for a home. I thought it'd be interesting to connect with someone in the area, a realtor, to give us an insight of what's going on in this area in regards to buying a home and what the trends are right now. And so I was so pleasantly surprised during the COVID-19 time, where a lot of businesses had put their advertising on hold and was waiting to, well, let's see where this all plays out, which is kind of interesting and critical for a radio station, that this gentleman stepped up and said, hey, I want to start advertising. And so I thought, great, I'm going to have him on a show because I love his enthusiasm, his optimism, and his outlook on life. Just the short time that I got to know him, I know you're going to enjoy getting to know him too. Let me introduce Terry Kent to you. He is with John L. Scott Realty, and I'm sure you've heard his ads on the air. Terry, thank you for joining me today. How are you?
Good, and thanks for having me.
Awesome. So, as I said, my son and his wife are in the market. They've both been married now for 4 or 5 years. They have their first child. You know, the typical story.
Yep.
You know, they both have really good jobs. They work for the hospital system. And they're looking to be first-time home buyers. But they have done all the homework. You know, they've got a realtor. They've done the, you know, pre-qualification and all of that. But mm-hmm. they have found that right now it's so competitive. You know, they've found that that people are, if you don't are ready to move and make a decision, boom, and make an offer now, you may lose it. And that just happened to them the other day. So I'm curious to see what you're seeing out they're in South Dakota. So tell me what's going on here in Salem. What's the market like to be a buyer? I know they say, is it a buyer's market or a seller's market? Is that a myth or is there something to that?
To me, it seems like it's kind of neutral right now. There are a lot of buyers in the market, but inventory is low. So normally that would be a seller's market. But then there's also a lot of buyers still aren't in the market. So we're kind of even as far as buyers and sellers. And then inventories are down. So that usually indicates the seller's market. But we haven't seen that on price pressure or anything. But we do have a lot of multiple offer situations. So when you do go to put that offer in on a home, you got to make sure you have all your ducks in a row, try to be the strongest offer. And, you know, they'll probably make offers on other properties up there and they'll be successful eventually.
Yes, I know that several years ago, I had an opportunity to work and do some consulting for consumer credit counseling. And we did first time home buyer classes. And so we got people all different parts of life coming in going, how do you even buy a home? How do you even start that process? So if we have a listener who's been renting for a while, right? And they're thinking, wow, this rent is pretty high. And I've heard that I can actually buy a home for less than rent.
Yes.
I don't know. Is that the case here in Marion County area? Is it pretty competitive?
They're pretty comparable with interest with the homes that are on the market, and what your payment would be is pretty comparable with rents that you would pay. You may buy a home, it might be a little bit more, but always remember that that little bit more is going to stay flat for 30 years, whereas that rent can go up 5%, 6% every year. So even if you're paying $100 or $200 more when you buy a home, within 2 or 3 years, that will have reversed and you're actually saving money by buying the home.
Yes.
But the biggest obstacle for a lot of first-time home buyers is the down payment.
Right.
There are, if you're VA, you can get in for zero down. But for the most part, it's 3 to 5% is what they usually require as a down payment. And that seems to be the biggest hurdle for a lot of first-time home buyers. There are different programs available. Your lender can introduce you to those that would help you with first-time home buyers. There are some federal programs for that. But, 3 to 5% of we're about $325,000 now is our median price in Salem. So, you know, that's a lot of money. That's 10-plus thousand up to 20,000 that they're having to put down on the home.
Well, and when you think of newly marrieds, you know, that have many of them even have college loan or debt or things going on. And, you know, they're already having some constraints on their income, you know, and on their credit as far as their debt to income ratio. They look at that. And I know you're more on the selling side than the lending side. But when we're talking to our listeners who probably, I'm saying majority of our listeners probably maybe looking at their second or third home, not their first home. But I think it's important that we realize that it is important to keep your credit in check, to keep your debt to income in check, because a lot of these programs that they may qualify first time home buyer programs. People don't realize that a lot of credit cards and a lot of debt on credit cards, even student loan debt, can keep you from qualifying. And if you qualify, not for the best interest rates, right?
The best interest rates or the most money you can qualify for. Because every bit of debt they carry, that is, you know, they allow up to some lenders 40%, possibly a little more. And, you know, that's all debt combined. That's car payments, credit card payments, some people, judgments, collections, any of those things, usually collections, though they try to clean those up prior to. But, yeah, that all comes off the amount of money you qualify for a monthly payment. So best thing you can do is pay down all your debt as much as you can. Understand, a car payment, that's kind of a necessary thing these days. You can't go out and buy cash for a car like you used to 30, 40 years ago. So, you know, just if they're thinking of buying a home, definitely try to control any credit, not utilize credit, try not to open any new accounts or get inquiries, because those do reflect off your credit score.
Right. And so when you have someone who's like, hey, I saw a house down the road I think I'm interested in, you know, if I called you, what would that conversation be like? What would you say to me?
Oh, I would say, well, we can take a look at it. But the one thing I would usually stress is you need to contact a lender or have you contacted
Bingo.
A lender. Yeah.
Yes.
Nothing worse than showing somebody a house. They fall in love with the house. This is what we want. And then they find out they can't afford it.
Exactly.
I hate to see that kind of heartache. So usually my first step, I may show them one or two homes just mm-hmm. to kind of get a feel. But I usually at that point, I want them to get that pre-qualification done.
And I think that's the important part is that people understand where they're at, where their snapshot is, mm-hmm. and what their ability to in their capacity, I guess, is to fund something. And
yes.
then to tell you, hey, I've been pre-approved or I've been looking at a house in XYZ range, you know, mm-hmm. $225,000. And you're like, okay, we got to go to, you
yeah.
know,
we're
it
not
won't
doing
be downtown
it here
Salem.
In Salem no.
Not downtown Salem today.
How do you like Sweet Home Lebanon
uh-huh,
area?
Yes. And actually, some of those smaller communities, phenomenal.
Oh, yes.
Is there any area that people are building right now, first-time home type?
Well, not first. I don't see a lot of first-time home building. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of new construction. Mostly South Salem area is a lot of new construction. Mm-hmm. But they're not in the – well, depends on how well you qualify. It's
sure.
still be your first home, but they're mm-hmm. in the 350 and up range. So.
Okay.
You know, but two people making a decent income of a combined around 80, 90, they should have no problem getting into something like that.
Do you have any idea what the median income, I don't know, I should look that up, median income is for this area?
Not off the top of my head. I'm guessing probably around the per person mid-40s.
Yeah, I'm guessing so,
yeah.
too. And with all the state workers here, pretty mm-hmm. stable, even through COVID-19,
yes.
Pretty stable income. Here's something interesting. When we moved up here when I was 10, my parents were able to purchase a home in the country mm-hmm. outside kind of Ilahi area and with some acreage and things. In fact, we were neighbors with Dan Sheets. Didn't know this until, you know, I started working here that his family's property and our property were back to back to each other and his parents. And
small world,
kind
huh?
of in the country. Yeah, pretty cool. And if a few people don't know who Dan is, he works here and helps us with our commercials and he produces things. And he's been a long time part of what we do here. And hi, Dan, if you're listening, good morning to you. And so my parents bought that like in the 70s, right? And mm-hmm. so when they sold in the 90s, it was an incredible jump
yes.
in value. Incredible jump in value. So then that property gets sold, and then coming back here, you know, doing now we have all this technology where you can even see a satellite view of the property mm-hmm. and you can do all of this stuff on and Zillow or different things you can look up and when the last price that place sold for. Unbelievable. Of course, there's been upgrades, you know, new siding mm-hmm. and things done to it as would be any home, right? Phenomenal, you know, the increase in value, like from $100,000 to $500,000,
yes.
you know, and so there's been an increase mm-hmm. in the property, which is great for those 20 years ago, 30 years ago that purchased, you know,
yeah.
that's what you would hope. So it's never a bad thing to get into real estate, right, and have that investment.
No, actually, it's a pretty solid investment.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, you know, we saw through 2007, 2008, we saw the housing crash.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, a lot of homes cut in half on value. But, you know, within 6-8 years, guess what? You're
right.
back up and actually over. I had a home that I bought for $125,000, it went to $250,000, back to $125,000.
Yes.
And then I sold it at $350,000.
Oh, that's fantastic. We are visiting with Terry Kent. He's a local realtor. So excited to learn a little bit more about real estate in this area. Of course, you know, we just moved back. We're renting currently, so it's good to get educated on where we're at in Marion County. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Thursday and every day. We'll be back after this.
Hey, yeah, you. Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning, stepping on my way. Good morning. Your strength can give me just what I need. I can feel the hope that's rising in me. It's a good morning.
Good morning to you. Listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. You can find us 1220 AM on the radio dial 104.3 FM or online streaming 24/7 at KSLM.news. I'm Stacey Ann, and we're hanging out together with Terry Kent, and we're talking about real estate and just kind of get an idea of what the market is. And Terry, you know, I have a friend who also is a classmate, actually. She's over in the Dayton area, who's a realtor. And I talked to her when I first came back. And, of course, with all the COVID stuff, I'm curious how this has affected you, if any, if you've seen anything in regards to, you know, what, how do you go and show houses during this season and time? What's been happening in the last couple months?
It has changed a lot. Mm-hmm. Gone are the days of the entire family coming in to look at the house. We were kind of at requested just to do two persons only per visit into the mm-hmm. home. We have sanitary wipes, gloves we wear. Always wear the booties. We don't like messing up floors.
Right.
But for the most part, it's there have been some COVID forms that some agents have required you to sign, verifying that nobody was exhibiting any symptoms or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would go do showings, wear gloves, wear masks if requested. Vacant homes, not so much. Nobody's living there. But
right.
In the homes where we went into, I would try to open all doors just myself, not have the client touch any of the surfaces to keep
right.
it as clean as possible. And just being a little extra careful.
Sure, sure. And as far as open houses, has that even happened?
Those pretty much
season?
Went away for
yes.
a bit. We could have still done them, but it was just it logistically and to be able to be safe about it,
mm-hmm.
it's not good to bring in a bunch of people. Usually it would be more of a scheduled situation.
Right.
We did resort a lot more to technology, doing digital open houses.
Mm-hmm.
You could do a Zoom if you wanted to and have several clients sign up, and then you could walk through the house and do alive, and people could send you a question. Hey, can you pan over to that corner? And we
mm-hmm.
could do stuff like that.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, and then Matterport, they do a lot of 3D visual imaging. And so there were ways to do it. It wasn't as personal and in contact
right.
as it used to be. It was more of an electronic and over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And me, I'm that, you know, talk to you face to face. I'd love to interface with you, and to have to do it so impersonally over the internet and stuff, just wasn't as fun, but we were doing
that. It takes that element out of it.
Yes, exactly.
It is interesting where we're at with technology. I notice the trend of using a lot of drones and
mm-hmm.
a lot of 360 video and
yep.
things that even when you're just kind of looking around to see what's out there, and it's interesting how they capture the information just going online
mm-hmm.
That you can inquire so far, and then they want to know who you are before you see the next level. You know, a lot of times,
yeah.
which is really brilliant, you know, because
mm-hmm.
then you don't have just people kicking tires and don't have any personal connection.
Yes.
So you're doing the technology, or you're
mm-hmm.
doing all of that. What kinds of calls are they moving in the area, do you see? Are they wanting, I saw a really funny advertising, and I thought it was brilliant on Facebook about tripping over each other because you're home all day, need a
mm-hmm.
bigger house kind of thing, you know?
Yeah,
thinking
if you
about
didn't
that
like
next,
staying at home for 2 months, maybe it's time for a new home.
A new home or a bigger home, more space, you
or
know?
Or possibly by next December, January, maybe it's time to call because you need a larger home because you've
home.
Added to your family.
That too. That exactly.
Yes.
I think that we'll have a little bit of a boom here in about 9 months or so,
yes.
right? So what are you hearing from people? What is the general? I'm sure it's all over the place, but are you hearing people moving into the area at this time? What are they thinking?
Well, for the most part, my clients have been local, but just actually over the past week, I have two clients, one from Georgia and one from San Diego, looking to move to the area.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
maybe some job transitions and
yeah,
things.
Yeah, one's just retiring. He's already retired. She's retiring, wants to move out here, be
yeah.
closer to their child.
Yes.
And then I don't know about the San Diego. I think he's just, you know, looking
yeah.
for another place.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Well, I know that many people have kind of put their plans on hold in a sense because
mm-hmm.
they don't know what the future holds. And,
yes.
I think there's two thoughts in that, that to put everything on hold and just be in this wait and see period.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's the other part of, wow, I want to get to that next thing because I don't know what's around the corner, you
yes,
know? And
yes.
so I want to buy now and get into that long-term, you know, 20-year or 30-year mortgage, 15-year mortgage, you know,
mm-hmm.
And get into that next space and enjoy it because I don't know what's around the corner. So it can play either way, but I do think it's important to keep looking, keep going towards
keep
your goals.
Keep moving forward, yes.
Keep moving forward. And so people are also looking at an opportunity to invest in property, right? So
mm-hmm.
they're looking for additional income, looking for a way to have residual income.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, investing in property is an awesome thing to do. You know, it requires capitalization to do it. But most properties that I've seen in Salem are great rental properties. You can definitely get a pretty good return on your investment with rental properties. And there are headaches, of course, that come along with that. Not every renter obviously takes perfect care of your home. So, you know, those are things to do. You have to have a tolerance level for the people that don't want to pay their rent on time, the problem tenant. Usually through screening, you get pretty good tenants. But, you know, real estate is an investment. It's still priced at a level here in Salem area where, you know, you can make a pretty good return on it. And I do recommend that for people looking for other revenue streams. You know, it's, yes, you have a large capital investment up front, but the return on it is very good. And people looking to fund their retirement, a little bit of retirement income, it's a great thing to put into their portfolio.
And some people like, well, do you like a twin home or what do you call it when there are duplex
or triplex,
around triplex,
fourplex,
and live in one part and then rent out the other part and pretty much pays the payment or
and
whatever, which is
a
real smart idea too. Yes.
Yeah. If you can pay, oh, I'm paying $300 for my payment because they're paying the other $1,500 next door.
Yes.
It's a great thing. Let somebody else buy your property for you.
And it's actually smart. That's making your money, allowing your money to work for you, not against you, right?
Yes.
And so do you have some of those inquiries too, like investment properties?
I do have a couple of my old clients from where I used to live that are looking at investment properties up here.
Yes.
But usually when people are looking, if they're a group or they're savvy investors, they're looking for the cheapest home in the best neighborhood with the remodeling and everything.
Right.
Because when you're buying a second home, your down payment requirements are higher. There's different there's tax laws involved there. So a lot of the investors usually are cash buyers. That, you know, and so they're not looking for the, well, I wouldn't think they'd be looking for the $800,000 rental. I'm thinking they're looking for the $200,000 to $300,000. There are distressed properties in Northeast Salem because it is an older section of town where you can get them for pretty good price
pretty
and
good
have a decent
price.
Return. Yeah.
When we come back from this break, I want to talk a little bit more about great areas for people to look into and maybe some property examples of properties that you've shown recently that are still out there.
Oh, okay.
You know, kind of do a teaser of, hey, give you a call and get in on the deal. Yes. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. We're talking real estate today. So glad to have you along. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning.
Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. Hey, SLM. Stacey Ann hanging out with you on this Thursday. How you doing? It's 7:35 and I am happy, happy. Even just in the last few minutes that we've been together today, the temperature is rising. We're already at 58 degrees this morning and we're supposed to get up to 87 degrees. That is just like prime weather for me. Coming from Arkansas, if it's 87 degrees, it'd be really humid. And I love the, I just love the breeze and how wonderful it is. And I hope, my friend, you can get outside and enjoy some nice weather today. Looks like, taking a peek ahead, it's going to get maybe some showers on Saturday and into the mid-60s, but then warming back up next week. So that's good news. It's almost camping weather, I think. And I've got Terry Kent in the studio with me. We're talking about real estate, and it may be a little selfish of me, Terry, having you come in and just kind of finding out, poking around a little bit, finding out what's going on in the real estate market in this area. But also, I know if I'm interested in it, probably we have some listeners that are interested in too. And, you know, in transition in life, it is interesting to look back at the homes that I've owned and sold and the places that I've rented and even coming here. Everything online, we talked about earlier in a segment about doing things online and digital, and I totally rented our place from online. Didn't even know it, and I was pleasantly surprised. It was better than what I thought when I showed up and rented, and we're in a one-year lease. But when I look at Salem and the changes that have happened over the last 30 years since I haven't lived here, it's, there's some growth. There's places here. Like, I used to work at Albertsons on commercial as a kid. That was my, my first, well, it was technically my second job. I worked at the Hotcake House in Portland on Saturdays with a guy I went to church with, a family I went to church with. That was like my first job when I turned 14. But my 16-year-old job was at Albertsons. It's not even there anymore. It's Trader Joe's, you know? And so there's lots of changes. Nordstrom Mall isn't down there anymore. You know, things that have changed over the years. But one of the things I have noticed is that the Independence Monmouth area, you know, just over the river, has really grown. And I'm really impressed with what they're doing downtown and how they're renovating it. And they're making it more like a destination. What's the market like over there? What kind of a house can you get in that area?
Pretty close to the Salem market as far as pricing goes. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of new construction over. I think that's mainly driven by the university there. University towns tend to continue to grow and grow and grow. Independence itself really hasn't grown that much. There are some new homes in the area, but for the most part, it's mostly been in the Monmouth area. And it's just, you know, it's a nice community over there. A little small. You don't have, you know, the Walmarts or anything like that. Actually, I think there might be a Walmart over there now. But I did notice the high school's being renovated, and there's several construction projects going on downtown Independence.
Right.
In the older buildings, they're renovating a lot of that.
Yeah, and they made that walkway right along the Riverwalk.
Yes,
pretty. So that might be an area that people would want to explore. So if you're limited as far as your starter income, maybe a couple hundred thousand to get into a home to start out with, maybe you want to be kind of in a smaller community. What communities around here, similar to Independence and Monmouth, what communities are you showing houses in?
Well, I've been showing pretty much from Lebanon, Sweet Home, all the way through Albany, Corvallis. Actually, my first sale was in Corvallis. I go up as far as McMinnville and Dallas, out to east towards Mill City and that. I cover a pretty wide area.
And many of those places that you just talked about are within 30 to 45 minutes, an easy commute, really.
Easy commute into town.
A suburbia, in a sense, into town. So a lot of people are doing that. Now, on reality TV, many of us over the last few years have been intrigued by the whole HGTV. Oh, I'm going to buy a fixer-upper and at a low cost, and I'm gonna either fix it the way I want and live in it, or I'm going to flip it, you know? And I've always been kind of shaking my head at that. I mean, I think it's great. First of all, I'd rather have it hired done. Maybe I'll get a good deal on a house and then make a plan in the financing to get it the way I want by hiring special people to do that, unless my brother helps me out. He's very good at that, but I want to keep that relationship with my brother. So
yeah, sometimes that can destroy those relationships.
Yeah, probably not. Do you see a lot of people wanting that or coming with that dream of, oh, I'm going to fix it to flip it, or I'm going to fix it up, buy a distressed property so that I can fix it the way I want to? Is that still an interest? I know it was like about a year and a half ago.
And it's still there. The interest is still there. I do recommend flipping homes is not as easy as it looks like on HGTV. It's very hard, not hard to make money, but you're not going to make, oh, I just made $100,000 on a home I bought for $60,000. There's a lot of money that has to go into it. If you are a handy style person or have construction experience, obviously you save a lot of money by doing your own projects. People that buy one say, okay, well, I'll hire these guys to do this, hire these guys to do this. The unforeseens in a fixer, usually once you get into something, you saw it on the HGTV where, oh, gee, that header's not good, or, oh, the foundation is cracked. Those are the little things that you find as you're doing those things. And if you could sell the results of your flip on a TV show, you're going to make money there because you'll sell the show.
Right.
But the actual flipping of homes, you can make money at it. You have to be very frugal about what you do. Don't overbuild. Never overbuild something in a neighborhood that's never going to get the return. Be careful where you spend your dollars on it. But you can make money, but it's not as easy as they make it look like on the
shows. And I always tell people to budget for Murphy.
Yeah.
You know what, that Murphy's Law.
He's a very good friend of mine.
You've got to budget for those unexpected expenses and things that will pop up. It's not when, it's not if they will.
It's
will it happen. And then if it doesn't, you've got some extra money to go buy some new furniture or something else.
You know, 15% into your budget for whoops. And, you know, even with the best inspection on a home, because most homes you buy, you want an inspection on. If it's a cash sale, sometimes you'll say no inspection necessary. But even an inspection doesn't catch everything. Obviously, an inspector doesn't go into a house and take out drywall and open up walls to make sure that all the framing is proper or the electrical is all proper. So those are the things you run into, the unseen things that nobody can see. So 15%, and like you said, if you don't end up using the 15%, well, hey, I can afford to stage this now before I sell it.
Exactly.
Yes.
So now let's switch gears a little bit. We've talked a lot about maybe the first-time home buyers are moving into the second house. This is a big group of people, and this could even strike a chord with some of our listeners today.
Mm-hmm.
These are the folks that are maybe empty nesters. Maybe they're semi-retired going into retirement, right? Mm-hmm. And they've lived in their home now for 30, 35 years. And they haven't moved.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wondering what the value of their home is, and they're looking at their options. Maybe they got stairs and they don't want to do stairs. They want to have one level living. Maybe they want to downsize.
That's a lot of downsizing.
Uh-huh.
Single story. I don't want the master upstairs anymore.
And these are all practical things that people are doing.
They don't
necessarily need all the bedrooms, because when people come visit, it's not big groups of people anymore, families and
except
family
at
gatherings.
Christmas, everybody comes home and then you're scrambling for bedrooms.
Yes, or you're going to one of your children's homes because their homes are bigger and newer and with all, you know, whatever.
Yes.
So you get the point that people are looking to do something different. So, but they don't really have a relationship with a realtor. They have no idea what their property is worth. Mm-hmm. They don't even know where to begin. What would you advise someone like that?
Well, the first thing to do is actually talk to a realtor. Any realtor, and most realtors, including myself, on our websites, we actually have a home valuation tool where they can put in their address. They'll claim that address as theirs, and then they go through and they kind of do some ratings on condition of home. They verify 3-bed, 2-bed, whatever it is. Because sometimes I've found county data may be outdated. Maybe you did an addition and it's not recorded, so it still says you're a 3-1, 3-bedroom, 1-bath, but you're actually a 3-bedroom, 2-bath now.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of do that. And then what it does is it actually gives you a range of where your home. It'll never pinpoint. That's an exact science that an appraiser does. I don't even do the exact science of an appraiser.
Mm-hmm.
I get close that for listing a home, but with this program it kind of gives you a range based on different sites of where your home would sit, and I've seen ranges as high as 50,000 between high and low, and I've seen them as low as 20,000 between high and low. But that gives you an idea, because you may think, oh, I figure it's worth 300,000, and after you put in all this and, oh yeah, we just remodeled the kitchen, that has a value, we just re-landscaped, and then they turn out, oh wow, it's worth 345.
Yes.
So, yeah, the first place to start with that is just, you know, contact a realtor. And if they don't have the program for that, they can usually give you what's called a CMA, just a real quick rough view on your property. It takes us about an hour to figure out one of those and kind of give you a rough value of what your home would be.
Well, and I think the other thing about finding a realtor that you connect with is extremely important, because I know in that group of people, there's a lot of emotions in letting go, in a sense, and selling your home that you've raised your children in, your grandchildren came to visit. There's a lot of, there's a process there. And there's also, if you're downsizing, there's a process of letting go of your stuff or redistributing or giving it to Goodwill.
Yeah.
Or, you know, things
five bedroom
like that.
Down to a 2-bedroom, you're going to be having a garage sale or a lot of relatives taking items.
Yep. And so there, it is having that relationship with your realtor, walking through that is extremely important, and finding the one that you can connect with is extremely important. But it is fun to watch people walk through that process. Mm-hmm. And I speak to this personally. It happened to me.
Yes.
I went from a 5-bedroom, 3-bath home down to, you know, now a 2-bedroom, 1.5-bed, you know, or 1.5-bathroom apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get really simple, and I'm hoping to even get some of these folks that are moving into tiny homes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new trend that's going on. Are you seeing people request those?
Not much.
Mm-hmm.
To me, tiny homes, I could never do it. Unless I had 6 of them put together, I could probably make that work.
With some fun tunnel.
Yeah, that's more of the newer generation.
That's more like a he-shed, she-shed type thing.
Exactly. Yeah, the newer generation, your younger generation, it's something new. It's, you know, how every time there's something that comes along that your parents didn't do, well, that's what I want to do.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
So, you know, they're getting into them. And yeah, for a young couple starting out, they're probably fine. Maybe it's a second resort home somewhere in another city, that would be fine. But, you know, once the kids come around and the tiny home kind of becomes not something they want to do. Resale on them is a little more difficult. They're not considered real property. They are considered a manufactured home. So some lenders don't loan on a tiny home. Some lenders do, but they don't. It's not been long enough for me to see if they increase or decrease in value. I haven't really seen increases.
So it's more trendy, kind of
it's a trendy thing. Yeah.
And something that we'll keep an eye on over time, right?
Yes, there's a lot of things changing in the market that we're always keeping an eye on.
We're talking with Terry Kent, our realtor specialist today, enjoying our conversation. We learn about the markets and what's happening in real estate. We're going to talk a little bit more about it when we get back from this break. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hold on, we'll be right back. In the back of the room with those concrete shoes.
good morning.
It's a good morning.
Wake up to a brand new day.
This morning.
Stepping on my way.
Good morning.
My strength to give me just what
good morning, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, together with you. Thank you for tuning in. It's 7:50 and it's a nice day in the neighborhood. We're going to enjoy temperatures in the 80s today. I'm so excited about that. And no matter what you're doing today, make sure that maybe you get out and go and enjoy a nice walk in the neighborhood. Enjoy, sit on a chair and listen to the birds. I was watching yesterday right out of my window. We live in kind of like a townhomes, I guess you would say, real close to a golf course. And I was opening up the screen door and I saw the squirrels and the beautiful bluebirds. They're not really blue jays. I don't know exactly what they are. And just the birds and the squirrels and the little, just life abundant outside in the flowers. Oh my gosh, living here, beautiful flower gardens. And it's a great day. Enjoy it today, my friend. We're talking real estate. And we're talking about just, you know, kind of poking around a little bit to see what's going on in the markets. And I'm curious with COVID-19 and the interest rates, you know, we know that the gas prices have certainly gone down, you know, because no one was driving and the demand was down. And I'm curious what are the rates? Terry, tell me a little bit about what's going on as far as the mortgage rates and what you know about that.
They're still pretty much at historic lows. Mm-hmm. We're still running in the mid threes. I even had a client in the high twos that was quoted. Yeah. And I tell anybody under 3.5, you can 3%, it's free money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very inexpensive to get a mortgage. I remember mortgages in the 80s, 13-14% in the early 80s.
I think my first mortgage was like 8.5% back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think when my father bought his home in 68, I think he was at 7%.
Incredible.
Of course, the house was $13,000.
Right. Major difference.
Don't we wish we had those still?
Right. And so talk to me a little bit about getting pre-approved and what kind of approval people should get, and what does that mean? And if you get pre-approved, how long does that last?
Well, pre-approval normally lasts for 90 days. And mm-hmm. then usually if nothing's changed, you can get it reauthorized.
Mm-hmm.
There are two types of approvals. There's just a regular pre-approval and there's a verified pre-approval. Mm-hmm. A pre-approval, basically, you give them all your information. You may have supplied pay stubs to them, but they don't have all of your financial information.
Mm-hmm.
But they say, well, based on what we've seen, this is what you should qualify for. A verified one is actually they verified your assets. They verified your income. Everything in your credit history has been fully verified.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually a little bit better than just a regular pre-approval, because then we know we're not going to have anything pop up. If I see a client that has a pre-approval, unverified, and maybe they've done their pay stubs, but they haven't done their debts or their assets verification,
mm-hmm.
there's still things that could pop up there that may not qualify them for the home. So I usually would like them to be, everything's been verified.
Right.
That way, you know, if they're approved for 350 and you go in for a house at 350, it's going to fund for the 350.
Mm-hmm.
I'd hate to find the 350 and then find out, well, you didn't verify your debt and you do have some more debt here. So you only qualify for a 310. Once again, that heartbreak of we found it, we lost it.
Right. And the other thing I remember when I taught first-time homebuyer classes and you're going in to your mortgage specialist,
mm-hmm.
Your relationship, again, about relationships, if you have a relationship with a bank or a credit union or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they have some sort of mortgage program, they know you, they know your accounts, they know your credit history, that's good. But there are, in the last 20 years, mortgage specialists too.
Yes.
That come alongside. And if you have some, maybe you're self-employed or
mm-hmm.
you have some things that sometimes it's harder through a bank or going through that way,
they can
help you get what you need, maybe at a higher interest rate. But there, any more, it seems like you can get, if you want something, you can get funded unless you've recently had some major issue. But
yeah.
But I always told my clients that if you've had something in your past, some hiccup in your credit or whatever, it's better to disclose it ahead of time and say, this is what happened, and
yes.
write out an explanation than to have a gotcha moment. You think it's not going to be there and it is there and you're in trouble, right?
And trust me, if it happened, and it's been the last 7 years, it's there.
Yes, yes. And so, but it's not impossible.
No,
if
it's
you
not.
Have, in fact, my sister-in-law works in this field. If someone has some hiccups in their credit, mm-hmm. you know, she comes alongside and coaches people on how to
address that
and work on that. So it's not a done deal. I think sometimes people think, oh, I'm just going to have to rent forever because, you know, I've had something happen in my life mm-hmm. and life happens and people know that. So you encourage people to go get pre-approved. Mm-hmm. There's verified and unverified. Mm-hmm. They can know what they're going to shop for. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, okay, we're ready to go. We're going to put an offer in. What does that look like?
Offer process is actually pretty simple. Mm-hmm. Once they've found that property, I will sit down and kind of do a valuation and comp around the area to make sure that the price point is correct. And then we kind of, you know, kind of with the client, depending on what their lender wants and their approval, then we can kind of structure the deal so it meets the lender's qualifications. Most offers now are coming in pretty close to what the list price of the home is. Mm-hmm. I think we're within 1% right now of list price. So that's what tells me it's not a buyer's or seller's. It's kind of a neutral
kind
market.
Of a neutral.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So they put the offer in, and mm-hmm. by law, how long before they have to tell you yes or no? Or
usually
will
we allow 1 or 2 days.
Oh, wow.
To accept
that
the offer.
That could feel like forever.
Well, if you give them too much time, then the seller's sitting there going, well, I've got this offer, but I'm going to wait for 5 days, see if anything else. We don't want to have that process.
Exactly.
We want to, within a day or two, have an answer. Now, even though you have an offer and they accept it, you still have certain rights under the contract, like inspection. Something mm-hmm. could come up in an inspection.
Oh,
I had
yeah.
a deal cancel outright just because the inspection came back bad.
Yeah.
But just, you know, making the offer is, you know, people think it's this real big thing, and it's really not. It takes me about 20 minutes to write a decent offer and then consult with the client. Within an hour of seeing a home, I can have an offer out to the listing agent.
There's some real advantages, listeners, friends out there, to having a realtor represent you.
Yes.
There is some advantages. I know that there are people who sell their house for sale by owner, and they're trying to save a lot of that costs or overhead or the percentages or whatever, but your realtor professional works for you and advocates for you through that process. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an advantage to have that person working for you when you're buying or selling. I think it's extremely important. Do people
yes.
do contract for deed? That used to be called contract for deed. I don't know if that's still. Do people still work out those kinds of financing where
yes,
they sell?
Yes, you can do for sale by owner, and people can do it themselves. I usually, you know, me being a realtor, obviously I'm a little more biased,
mm-hmm.
but you need somebody looking out for your interest. You mm-hmm. need somebody, you know, you could do a deal with somebody and you do it all by yourself, and then a year down the road you find out something was amiss in the deal and now you're on the hook for it because you now own that property.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you have a title search usually with that, they can find stuff in the title, but there could be other things involved that you don't know about. That's where we as realtors, we're looking at the home. We're working with the inspectors, the appraisers. We can even do cursory views of the home when we're there to say, okay, these are things you may run into
yeah.
issues with.
Yeah.
And plus with the for sale by owner, you know, they go through the websites. They pay a very minimal fee mm-hmm. to do that. Do they always get the best price? I found a lot of for sale by owners, because they're saving the commission, they're coming down on their price some.
Right.
Why?
Right.
If you could get the higher price, still get what you were going to do for sale by owner, but have professional representation there.
It's worth it.
Yes, it's well worth it.
So now tell me how we can get a hold of you. What's your phone number and your website?
My phone number is area code 503-559-5522. And my website is terrykent.johnlscott.com.
Awesome. So if you need a real estate professional, we've got him right here. Terry
Love
Kent.
To hear from you.
Thank you for hanging out. And
sure,
come back
great.
Again. Give us an update maybe in like 4 or 5 months.
Anytime.
Let us know
just
how things are
call.
Going.
This
All right.
This was fun.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Have a fantastic Thursday, my friends. Tomorrow morning, we're going to have attorney Kevin Mannix with Common Sense for Oregon. It's going to be a great show. Tune in tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you're facing today, you and I, we're overcomers. Be blessed. Take care.